Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. We got a great show to get through over the next couple hours. The Masters have come and gone. Another green jacket goes to, well, a guy that already won one. Good for him. And Tiger falters, but a silver lining in probably the most difficult round of Tiger Woods' illustrious career. I love Joe Burrow. It's not the NFL season. Now, we got the draft coming up, but Burrow's boldness cuts through all the other storylines that are out there. He's got a challenge, a proclamation, maybe a reality. He's directing toward the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get into that. Caitlin Clark goes on SNL and roasts one of the weekend update anchors. It was very funny. That's not always true on Saturday Night Live these days. She was great. We'll get into that a little bit. Our buddy Jeff Zilgit will swing by, USA Today national NBA writer, talk the craziest final day in regular season history for the NBA. It was awesome. We've got Buy or Sell, which Pretty Daddy puts together, the executive producer of the show. He goes, his moniker at home sometimes is Tom DeCelestino. You know him as Pretty Daddy. He's got a big announcement. This one really does. It's not a pretend announcement. We will get into that here in a little bit, and maybe we'll do some pre-predictions on the NBA play-in. Phone number 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Hit me up on Twitter, SportsRiter, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Here's the reality from yesterday's circus carnival of excitement from the NBA. Adam Silver won. This era of the NBA, we always talk about it's defined by LeBron or it's defined by Steph or it's defined largely in large part by Adam Silver, because the crazy conclusion of all the action, the seeding that hung in the balance, the fact that almost every single game yesterday had some bearing, some significant bearing on where people were going to be placed, the fact that day, or game at least, 82, felt like playoff basketball is a credit to Adam Silver and the fact that his vision almost a decade ago to instill parity in the NBA has arrived. There's so many stats that are out there. Pretty Daddy pulled out one of them. 14 of the 30 teams, that's almost 50%. Tom did the math. 47% of the teams finished with between 46 and 51 wins. You had a day yesterday where the Miami Heat could have finished. It's like the NFL finishing sometimes. The Heat could have finished with the 5 seed. Instead, they finished with the 8 seed. And that range of possibilities extended in a lot of cases across the NBA. What a fun, thrilling, remarkable finish to the regular season. And let me tell you something. And if you gamble on sports like I do, I'm not guaranteeing you success. Only bet what you can lose. But man, I would look at seriously putting some money on some of the longer shots this time around, and some of these series or in general, because I don't think there has ever been in the history of the sport the kind of parity that there is right now. And with all due respect to my colleagues who cover the NBA, my colleagues who I work with on the podcast I do after this, Beyond the Arc over at CBS Sports, with all due respect to the Celtics and Nuggets fans out there, and I think those teams are really good, almost anybody can win the series that they're going to play in, and almost anybody can come out of the East and the West. Hell, there are 4 teams, maybe there are 5 teams in the play-in that can make a conference finals and have it be a lot less crazy than, say, that Atlanta Hawks team that made a run a couple years ago. The Sixers and the Heat, who will play the Knicks in the opening round, are good enough, whoever wins that play-in, to beat the Knicks and make the conference finals. And here's the thing, angry Knicks fans on my timeline again. The Knicks are good enough to beat everybody and make the finals. That's how much depth there is and how much opportunity in this postseason. And on the other side of the equation, I know the Pelicans yesterday had a chance. Win that game, beat the Lakers, avoid the play-in. They got destroyed by the Lakers. They're going to play the Lakers again in the play-in. And I think it, for me, underscores that one Pelicans-Lakers game yesterday. And LeBron was otherworldly. And Anthony Davis waited till the end of the game to do his, somebody looked me the wrong way, my back, my head hurts. That guy is, I'm sorry, he played 75 games. He's amazing. He's a great player. He is so soft. Even when he's not soft, he has to act like he's, oh, my back, I'll be here, I'll be ready to go in a couple days. But that loss for the Pelicans, that I know there's no Brandon Ingram, but that abdication of any competitiveness in that game, to me, underscores, as you try to slot who's going to beat whom going forward, experience matters. I've been banging this drum. Everyone's rolling their eyes. If you're a young team, or your star is super young, or your superstar is young and has not played in the playoffs, it's going to matter. It did yesterday. Zion just wasn't up to that moment. It's why I think the Thunder can lose. It's why I've got a $1,000 bet with John Gonzalez, one of my colleagues over at Beyond the Arc. And I'm on the Suns against the Timberwolves, who, by the way, it's deja vu all over again a couple times. Are going to play each other yesterday, going to play each other again. I think the Suns are going to win that series. What a thrilling NBA season, and what a finish. Let me go through this real quick. Celtics are going to play whoever comes out of the 8 seed. Now, if you've forgotten how this works, the play-in's super weird. There's 4 play-in teams in each conference. The 7 and the 8 are going to play each other, and the winner of that in the East and the West are going to play the 2. Which means that if you are the Pelicans or the Lakers, you almost don't want to win your play-in game because you're going up against the Denver Nuggets. If you are the Sixers or the Heat, I don't think it doesn't matter. I think the Knicks are awesome. I'm not hating on the Knicks. I know. I mean, I don't know how many times you want me to apologize. Man, Knicks fans are obnoxious. Jalen Brunson's good at basketball. I got it. I get it. You're not obnoxious. It's fine. Every one of those teams that I mentioned, the Pelicans, I'm a little leery on them because of their experience. The Lakers, certainly. The Sixers and the Heat are good enough to make deep runs. And so are the Warriors, who are in that 8 seed. Now, the way that the potential 8 seed works, if you're in the 9-10 slot, you got to win that game. Then you got to play the loser of the 7-8 game, and the winner of that game is the 8 seed. It's like that scene from Always Sunny in Philadelphia where he's like going crazy in the board, he's got a cigarette in his mouth, and there's a gif out there. It's kind of hard to follow. I get it. Let's go through some of this. Look, the Celtics are the best team in the NBA on paper. They're astounding on paper. In fact, they have the 3rd highest net rating, which is a fancy way of saying their point differential when you adjust for how many possessions everybody has. 3rd highest net rating in the history of the NBA. They are stacked. Drew Holiday is probably, at least on paper, their 3rd to 5th option. And the guy's a stone-cold winner. But I'm just telling you, they're not unbeatable. Are the Celtics the favorite? Yes. Would I take them over the field? Probably not. Because remember, this is a team that has won and dominated, but there's 2 realities that I think are really interesting about Boston, especially if you're out there betting. And I'm not saying they're not going to win. I'm just saying I don't think there's the same level of certainty, the same absolutism, oh, that's easy, that a lot of people think. And this is the reason why, and they're connected. One is that Jason Tatum, and I've talked about this a lot, I'm not anti-Tatum. I think Tatum's great, but he has been bad this year, last year, the year before, whatever timeline over the last 3 years you want to dig into, in clutch time and crunch time. That's an actual stat the NBA keeps. It's within 5 points or fewer with 5 minutes or less in a game or overtime, all right? Big moments. He is historically bad. And as a result, in connection to that, the Celtics have not played, this is really interesting, have not played, and this was Tom Haberstroh who gave this to us, that many crunch time games. They haven't played that many close games. But when they have, they're basically middle of the pack in the NBA. So you've got this dominant team, this steamroller of an organization through 82 games, And you've got a reality that they've underperformed in the postseason before. I know they made the finals a couple years ago. I know they made the conference finals last year. But in big moments, they weren't able to get it done. And remember last year, not that long ago, they got down 3-0 to the Heat, who also came out of the play-in that year. They won three in a row, sent that series back to Boston for a Game 7, and they found a way not to win that game. They're not good, and their star's not good when it really matters. And if you think the Celtics aren't going to play close games, then put them chalk all the way through. If you think, like I do, there's going to be some close basketball games, watch out. And whoever loses that Sixers-Heat play-in game, if that team then wins against the winner of the Bulls or the Hawks, it's confusing, right? That team can beat the Celtics. You've got Cleveland-Orlando after that. Cleveland is kind of like AD. They're kind of soft, even though they're talented. I'm not sure I buy them. And I know Orlando's probably not going to beat Boston. So Boston's got a route and a road. But on the other side of the bracket, man, look, I don't think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to do much, but I could be wrong. We don't know where Giannis is with the calf injury. We do know that Doc Rivers, last I checked, is still the coach. So that's not a good situation for Milwaukee. The Pacers have been on fire lately, kind of under the radar, really good. Go back to the All-Star game, and they're basically top five in a bunch of categories. And then I think, here's my bold prediction. Here's what I'm going to give you right now. The winner of Knicks versus whoever they play, Sixers or Heat, are going to the conference finals. That is a huge, it's not disrespect to New York. And I'll do picks on Friday, and if I don't pick the Knicks, it's not disrespect. I think whoever wins that series, I want to see who they play, is making the conference finals. I haven't even gotten to the West yet. Thunder, I think the Thunder are in pretty good shape in that first round series, as long as they don't play the Warriors or the Lakers. So I guess there's a 50% chance they're in good shape. It's a young team, man. That is a young team. I'm just telling you, I know Golden State's been underwhelming and disappointing, but since Draymond Green came back into the starting lineup in January, the Warriors have been really, really good. Clippers, Mavs, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm just going to say it. The Mavs have been playing great. They're playing great defense. They've been on fire. The Clippers are a hot mess. I wouldn't pick either of these teams if all the money in the world were presented to me and I had to choose one. But I guess I have to. Can nobody win? I've never done this. Can I just say pass when it's prediction time and somebody says Mavericks, Clippers? Can I say no, thank you? No, it'll be the Mavs are playing really good. They're playing really good. I mean, they're just Kyrie. You know, I know they're good, but if the playoffs roll around, it makes me nervous. Wolves Suns is going to be a hell of a series. I've got that $1,000. It's a $1,000 dinner. I've also got a plan. If I lose the bet, I'm going to try to make sure that there's four of us, okay? Ashley Nicole Moss is one of my co-hosts. She lives in Miami. John Gonzalez lives here in the L.A. area. So does our producer, Aaron Larsoul. So I just got to make sure that we don't get Ashley to the West Coast ever again when I'm around and that I don't have to pay the bet. I'm a class act. No, I'm going to win this bet. I think the Suns are going to beat Minnesota. You saw yesterday, Minnesota had a chance to be the 2 seed or the 1 seed, and they just got destroyed. Experience matters. I know Kat's back. I know I love Ann Edwards. It's a different thing when it feels like the playoffs like it did yesterday. And while the Suns aren't very deep, rotations shorten up in the postseason. Half-court offense becomes a lot more important. And the most important thing maybe outside of – I actually think coaching becomes significantly more important because of the time to prepare. But number one is the ability for guys to go and get buckets on their own, to create their own space and to get buckets in crunch time and pressure time throughout a game. And that Suns team all year long has had two guys in Durant and Booker who can do that. And now they got three because Bradley Beal quietly under the radar about 5 or 6 games ago, right when I decided he was cooked, right when I publicly said he might be cooked, he started cooking in a good way, getting it done. And then Denver, I think Denver's going to roll. But again, I think the distance between all of these, the top team and the 10th team, I think it's the narrowest it's been in a really long time. Congratulations, Adam Silver. Every single game mattered yesterday. When's the last time you could say that in an NBA regular season? Where every game... So I was watching Crunch Time with our guy, and I could not keep track of the games. They put 4 games up, and I still had to have one on my phone and my laptop just to try to follow all the action. Good morning, Tom. Tom, can I tell you something that's kind of weirded me out right now?
Good morning, Bill. Happy Monday to you. Please do.
So I pulled up over at CBSSports.com. They've got they do a nice job with SEO, search engine optimization. So when I Google, you know, NBA bracket, I want to pull it up, right? It always brings up CBS because we do a good job. And I'm looking at it. It looks really good. So I've got CBSSports.com up with the bracket in front of me so I can look at it. And then to the right, they pop up videos. And every video has been me. And so I've been talking to everybody while there's a – but it's an alternate reality me because this is my radio me. I've got a clean shirt on today, but that's kind of rare. I'm wearing sweatpants, which you think I shouldn't do in public, right? You know, my hair may or may not be in a great position. And then it's me with a sports coat. It's just weirded me out seeing – there I am again. Also, I need to get some starch in my collars, clearly. They're a little off.
You know, it's jarring for me when I see you with, you know, hair done up.
Yeah,
fancy clothes on. I'm not used to that.
It's a different me. All right, we got a big announcement about you. I'm going to do it here in a second. No, it's a big announcement. This one's a real announcement, though, isn't it?
For all of one person who may or may not have noticed.
It's a real announcement about Pretty Daddy. That's pretty exciting. And we'll talk the Masters and do some predictions on the play-in. All that coming up in a moment here on Rider Than You.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
That was awesome.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to the show. Bill Ryder with you. What's up? Happy Monday. Got that Monday energy. Let's go. All right. So Tom DeCelestino, Pretty Daddy, who you used to know as Pretty Daddy CBS on X Twitter, has been trying really hard to, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just kidding. I don't actually need to be best friends with Tom. I like Tom. We're colleagues. Tom's been calling me on the weekends. Tom's been, I don't, Tom, you've been, good morning. I already said good morning. You've been a little, I got friends. You got friends. But you just, he changed his Twitter. This is the big announcement. Dun, dun, dun. Do you ever want to do the breaking news thing? Do you want to rock the breaking news thing? Rock the breaking, come on, D-Snell. You want to call me every weekend day now. Back in the day, Tom wouldn't even answer. Yeah, he wouldn't even answer my calls during work hours. Now he wants to be best friends. So he's changed his Twitter handle to Pretty Daddy RTY. And I was looking at RTY. I'm like, really, truly yours? I was trying to figure out what he was signaling to people. It's Rider Than You.
I want to be friends, man.
Why don't you just be at Pretty Daddy Bill's best friend? Because, come on.
Too many characters.
Sorry, that's fair. All right, so that's the announcement. If you're looking for Pretty, I think it'll come up if you just type in Pretty Daddy. But since the guy that wants to go to Mars took over the thing that used to be called Twitter, the algorithm doesn't work half the time. I don't know if I've told you this, but I by muscle memory, would just, when I tag you in the show tweets in the morning, would just type in Tom DeCelestino or D-Cell, whatever your old one was. And do you know what will come up if you type on my computer?
I don't want to know.
Brooklyn Decker.
Oh, I do want to know.
So I've tagged Brooklyn Decker on accident and had to delete several times. I don't. You know that the Twitter X algorithm is broken when it confuses you for Brooklyn Decker.
Then
you know X is broken.
Wrong.
All right. If you're looking for him, Pretty Daddy RTY. What are you doing with your Masters takes, by the way? What are you doing here?
What do you
why
mean?
Don't you tell the people who won the Masters, since you think I can't say the guy's name?
Scottie Scheffler.
What did you think of in the break? I'm like, all right, I'm going to come back. We'll talk about the fact Scheffler won. Ah, it's Bill. It's Scottie Scheffler. I'm like, okay, and Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods.
Nailed
what are
it.
You doing, man?
Nailed
is
it.
That like producer 101? What is that?
Just crossing my T's and dotting my I's.
I mean, I know who Scottie Scheffler is, the fact that he's already won the Masters, and he's got another green jacket, and what a performance, what a Sunday. But how do people pronounce it who you think can't pronounce it?
Well, I don't know. You never know with these
I'm
sorts
looking
of
at
things.
Scheffler. There's no other way to pronounce it. Think I'm going to say scheduler?
No, that's too far.
All right, so you and I had different reactions. This, I think, is the state of golf. Great victory. Way to go. It got tight for a while. Four-way tie late in that baby. But the real sort of emotional connection for me was Tiger Woods, and I think for you too, and for a lot of people. And Tiger had an absolutely brutal, brutal day. Now remember, you have to walk the entirety of the course, obviously, and there is this world where as you get older, it becomes harder and harder to do, and as you're injured or coming back from injury, even though it doesn't sound like much, the grueling reality of walking 72 holes can catch up. So while Scheffler, see, now you got me double. God, you're a great producer. Pretty Daddy RTY, we're best friends. That's going to be hard to say.
I'm open to other suggestions.
Pretty Daddy RTY. While Scheffler pulled away again, one by four strokes, was 11 under, Tiger Woods had his worst finish in history over a 72-hole event. Now, it's worth noting, you got to make the cut in this event in order to have that poor performance. He was 16 over. He had a brutal, brutal final day. He finished dead last of anybody who made the cut, and he shot on Saturday, I think it was an 82, and then yesterday, 77 or 78. Let me give you a little glasses half full here, Tom, okay? Because I did not watch the entirety of the Masters. I'm going to be full disclosure. I was because Hoops was on early yesterday. They had Hoops on at 10 o'clock Pacific time and then 12:30 Pacific time. So it was weird. It was kind of enjoyable. Almost a football schedule. So I had it on. I had golf on, but that was muted. But I enjoyed seeing Tiger. Do I enjoy seeing him struggle? No. I think this was Saturday. Do I enjoy seeing him scull the ball into a crowd of people and potentially take somebody out? What is he, me? That is my nightmare, by the way. You know, they show the shots of people teeing off on 18 where everyone, I would kill three people. I would wound. There was Bunker Hill Golf Course in Dubuque, Iowa, where I grew up playing. I'm a lefty, right? So my slice never was a problem. But on this one hole, there's a busy street. I can't remember the name of the street. And I have hit three cars in my lifetime on that. And they just kept driving, too. They just kept going. And those are cars, not people. And the cars are about 150, 200 yards away. The people are lined. It's my nightmare, up and down. If somebody offered you, if you had to go to the Masters 18 and there were people lined up like that and you would have $100,000 if you could just not hit if you could just clear it, you had to hit driver or three wood and you had to hit it straight. But if you did that and you didn't hit anybody, you think you can make the money?
Pass. Nope.
Because I do like a banana shot because I have so much slice that I can actually hit the ball when I really connect. I can hit the ball a good 270, but the joke is it goes 320. It just comes back. So there's no way. Unless it went right over their heads, but I think there'd be a lot of risk of serious injury.
Banana time.
It's a bad. It is not. When I was doing, I guess it wasn't sideline reporting. When I was doing pre- and post-game NBA playoff coverage as the host, and we'd have athletes who would sort of sub in. Usually it was Jim Jackson, maybe Gary Payton. We would all go golf together. I remember one night, Jim Jackson and Gary Payton. Do you want to, if there's a name drop thing, you can do it, but I'm just going to, it's a true story, I'm going to tell it. They made me drink with them until 4 in the morning in San Antonio. I don't even know how they got alcohol at 4 in the morning. Yeah. And then Jim Jackson, we had decided to go play golf and leave at 6 in the morning at 4 a.m. I'm like, I'm going to sleep. He's like, cool, I'll be at your hotel room at 6. I go, I'm not going to golf anymore. It's 4 in the morning. He's like, yeah, you are. This was the day before my first time I ever had to host a live event. So then he picked me up, and he and me and Alonzo Mourning, of all people, who I didn't know at the time, went golfing. And then I might have had a drink or two on the golf course, and then I had to go host live. But the point I'm trying to tell you is there's nothing worse than being around professional athletes if you're not a great golfer. I'm sort of a 88 to 150 range, anywhere from like 90 to 105. If I'm not golfing with famous people that make you nervous, and they're playing from the tips, and they won't stop coaching you. Marty Schottenheimer once wouldn't stop coaching me on a golf course to the point where I literally shot 104. I'm not kidding. On 9 holes. That's a true story. And he made sure we kept score. I have all these terrible Jim Jackson's the only person I've ever met who could coach me and make me better. The guy is a wizard. Do this with your hands. I'm like, Jim, I'm not. Just do it. And then, boom, ball right to the stick. I don't know what the point of that story was. Oh, if Jim was there, I could clear the 18. Pretty dandy RTY. That's just going to be hard to say.
I'm open to other suggestions. Regular, just plain pretty daddy already taken.
Okay. I mean, I like RTY. Well, rather than you. What a commitment to the show.
You know me. I'm a team guy.
What a commitment to the show. Let's do some predictions here really quick. Are you ready for this? Let me pull open this thing again, even though I haven't memorized, so I can look at myself talking to myself in my sports coat. All right. You want to start with the easy ones? Let's start with the easy ones first. Bulls or Hawks in the play-in game in the 9-10?
That one does feel like an easy one. I'll take Billy Donovan and the Bulls.
Me too. They've actually been kind of interesting lately. All right. So the Bulls are going to advance. Sixers or Heat? That is a tough. I think both those teams can make deep runs, by the way. I'm going Sixers.
I'm going playoff Jimmy.
Last year, if I remember right, and by the way, I don't always, the Heat lost this game and then had to win, I think, in overtime. So playoff Jimmy sometimes hibernates. He's like a bear. You don't know when he's going to wake up. All right, you're going playoff Jimmy. I am going the Heat to beat the Bulls in the 8 game. Are you who are you taking Sixers-Bulls in your world?
I will take the Sixers to win that game.
Okay. The Sacramento Kings against the Warriors. Do you want to give you the right answer, or do you want to you go first?
I see what you did there. I'm going to take the Golden State Warriors.
Correct. Can I tell you why?
Yeah, please do.
I just got a pretty funny text about you, and I'm having trouble not insulting you on the air. In a lot of ways, you're the Kings and I'm the Warriors. What? No, just kidding. So there's a big brother, little brother thing that goes on here between the Kings and the Warriors, and the Kings are on the wrong end of that. The Warriors have, I don't know if you know this, Tom, they have some experience. They have some championship. Yeah, your career's over. Championship experience. But I think the main thing is that Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter are out, and I don't know that people realize how important Malik Monk was to the Kings and what they did. Even if the Kings were healthy, I would pick the Warriors, but it's pretty easy pick. Warriors advance, and I think the Lakers are going to crush the Pelicans, just like they did. It's one game, anything can happen. I think the Lakers are going to crush the Pelicans, and then I think the Warriors are going to beat New Orleans. So I think the Pelicans, who could have been the 6th seed, are going to miss the playoffs.
I don't think I'm going to be that guy right now. I don't think the Lakers are going to be motivated to win this game. They want no part of the Denver Nuggets.
So they lose it on purpose and they play the Warriors.
Yes, that's my plan.
Who wins that game? It's not a bad plan. I wouldn't want to play the Nuggets either.
I'll take my Warriors. I think that would be 50-50. Like
your Warriors.
Yeah.
So you're hitching your wagon to the Warriors and to somebody else that you should. Okay, got it. Just checking. just checking in on how things are going. You know that gif I send you way too often now where there's a, I don't know why a dog is drinking coffee or tea in a house and it's on fire. And he says, everything's fine. That's you right now.
Come on, man. It's only Monday. We're through 32 minutes of the show.
It's early. You know what? It's so early in the, oh, by the way, bragging alert. My son Henry got another goal this weekend. Let's go.
Nice. How many is that?
I don't know. Yeah, I do. Six. Six
That's
and four
lot,
or five
man.
Games. He's doing it.
Different celebration every time, or are we sticking with the same one?
No, he's gotten pretty. He's gotten pretty chill on it now. Now that he's
old news. Now
there was one time where he ripped off a shirt though, like I think last season, and the ref I guess almost gave him a red card. Called him aside, like you can't do that.
Henry likes to toe the line.
Yeah, what line? what line are you speaking of? All right. Let's, speaking of toe the line, speaking of swagger, speaking of confidence, Joe Burrow, who barely played last year, missed a lot of time, and that's the reason that his Bengals became an afterthought in a really interesting AFC picture. He's back, and he has got a message for the Chiefs, and it's we're coming for you. And we'll get into that after we get a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Tennis Tactics, sponsored by Who Cares? Nobody.com.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you on this remarkably wonderful Monday. Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R on Twitter, at Pretty Daddy R-T-Y, new handle for Tommy over there. And we have a suggestion from your biggest, well, your second biggest fan. That guy's your biggest fan. Dalton Wells tweets he needs to change it to Prettiest of Daddies. I actually thought about that. The thing about, oh, you don't like that, huh? I've learned your facial expressions.
I'm trying to do the math in my head because I think I only get 15 characters.
Prettiest of Daddies is going to be a lot. It would be hard for you to, for anyone to tweet at you, you know? Hey, at Prettiest of Daddies, bye, would be basically the extent of the limit of the character usage. How many you got?
It's not going to work. It's too many.
How many is it?
It's over 15.
Okay. You stopped counting at 15?
Yeah.
Got hard?
Yeah. I only go to a certain point, man.
So you just, I'm done. I'm out. I got a sports take, but it also led me to a different place. Do you want to start at the ending, or do you want to start with the sports take? Because we're going to get there either way.
Let's go to a different place.
Go to the ending?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to talk about Joe Burrow, and he said something on the New Heights podcast, which happened in front of Travis Kelce, and that reminded me that my kids were playing Tay-Tay. Her concert is on Disney Plus, I guess. It was on my house all weekend. And that made me think about the fact that I just looked at my I'm taking a week off in August, and we're going somewhere kind of fancy-schmancy, and we're going to be relatively close. We could get pretty easily to a city where Tay-Tay is performing. And my best friend from college, or one of my oldest friends, I should say, one of my best friends, is going to be in that exact European city watching Taylor Swift. So I thought, what the hell? I'll treat my kids. I don't want to spend $1,000 for four tickets to Taylor Swift. This is before I look at the prices. But, you know, life's short. It's fine. I'll work an extra radio shift or something. I went to look at tickets. Do you know how much tickets cost to a Taylor Swift concert? Have you ever looked how much? No wonder she's happy. No wonder she's always singing about how, you know, everything. Do you know how much? If I haven't given you this preamble, how much would you have just off the top of your head thought a ticket to Taylor Swift would cost? Like a medium ticket. Like a not a good seat, not a bad seat, just a regular you can see or middle of the pack seat.
$400.
$400, right?
Yeah.
The ticket I described to you would cost you $2,000.
Whoa!
The cheapest you can get in, obstructed view, the very back, is $800 a ticket. And then I started to look, if you want four people to sit together, then I started to look around like, okay, I can, Lori and I can, one of us can sit with Madeline and one of us can sit with Henry, and we can only spend $3,000. And it just became who spends $3,000 on four tickets at a discount to sit apart from each other?
Apparently a lot of people.
Yeah, you know what it gave me? Bad blood.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there?
It's a lot of money,
what is she saying? She never runs out of style? Yeah, but we all run out of money because of your style. $1,000 a ticket? Am I just delusional about what it costs to go to live concerts? I didn't think it cost that kind of money.
No. Watch it on Disney Plus.
I'm sure it's True Love. I know you're all about Travis and True Love. But, I mean, she is picking up dinner. I mean, like, she's doing okay.
I'm glad you're coming around. It is True Love.
It's, I don't know.
What do you mean?
I just don't want to, I don't know. It's True Love for her. I think she's truly in love.
Sigh.
I hope he is. My kids are not going to see Taylor Swift this summer.
Have you told them that?
Yeah.
How'd they take the news?
I mean, they're pretty chill. They understand. They want to go, but probably my wife was not happy with me when I said, we should go to Taylor Swift, because I think maybe she knew it. I got this singer in. Well, it'd be fun. It would, huh? Yeah. Take the kids. Midnights. Whatever. I'm going to have to have a third job to be able to afford the Taylor Swift stuff. All right, that is the end of my train of thought. The beginning is we've been talking about, and we've hit a lot, who is poised, and I think it's an AFC conversation. Who is poised to stop the Chiefs or slow them down, to bring them back to earth a little bit? And the AFC, Tom, is really good, but I think we saw in this last postseason, there's a lot of excellence, but there is no one last season that got to the heights of Kansas City. And the fact that the Chiefs had to go on the road and had to go on the road against Buffalo and had a more difficult route and path and still got to the exact same place, it just speaks to what we already know and we should have known, and we should have known, or we did on this show, but others didn't when they got off to their somewhat rickety start. They are the team to beat in the National Football League. And the answer to, well, what can Buffalo do, which is not a lot. Stephon Diggs has gone there in Capel. What can the Dolphins do? It's hard to see that they're going to be. Are the Ravens good enough? The answer was sitting in plain sight. It's the Bengals. If they can stay healthy, if Joe Burrow can stay healthy. And Burrow said that right. I love that he said it right in front of Travis Kelce. So this is a live podcast. It hasn't been released yet, but the quotes are everywhere. Here is Joe Burrow talking. I'm just going to read you his quote. Quote, "I think we both work really hard." They're talking about himself and the Chiefs. "They have great players. We have great players. I think we match up pretty well with them. I think we're built to beat them. I always appreciate the legendary battles we have. Guys are out there always making plays. Patrick Mahomes is always out there making plays. Both teams have big-time defensive lines. It's a great matchup." But the key quote is, I think we're built to beat them. And what he's saying, and what I think may be true, or as true, more true for him than anybody else in the NFL, is that he is built to beat the Chiefs, that he is built to beat Mahomes, that he's not a, because it's not what you say, it's how you say it, or in this case, it's not what you say, it's if you mean it. And a lot of people have said some version of this and haven't actually thought it was true. Joe Burrow not only thinks it's true, he thinks he knows it's true. Remember, Burrow's 3-1 in his career against Kansas City, and the Chiefs have been an absolute dynasty over that stretch. He's going to win in the regular season going back about 3 years ago. He's going to win in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead that I talk about all the time, which obviously was an amazing accomplishment. He's going to win in the regular season in 2022, and then they lost in the AFC Championship game a year ago when he was actually healthy. That's 3-1. All four of those games, as Tommy pointed out, as Pretty Daddy RTY, wow, pointed out, all four games decided by 3 points. So you could certainly look at it in the context of, well, the Chiefs were really close and they should have won those games. I see it differently. The fact those games were close, I think, speaks to the reality of what Burrow can do, because the Chiefs play a lot of close games. We've seen Mahomes have to pull off a lot of comebacks. We've seen over the course of their run, especially early on, some major comebacks. Remember when they got down to the Titans a few years ago by 21 points in a playoff game, and they had to come storming back. I think it was after that first half, huge deficit. The question isn't whether or not teams play the Chiefs close. It's whether they can beat the Chiefs in close games in those pressure-packed moments. And almost nobody can. But Joe Burrow can. The fact that he's 3-1, not just in his career against Kansas City, but in close games, and games that are really significant, because all of these games, I mean, two of them are AFC Championship games. And the ones in the playoffs, especially the second one, was a big deal. Because at the point where they played in the regular season in 22, remember, Burrow was 2-0 at that point. And there was all these narratives. We talked on this show. Somebody, I can't remember who, might have been Pretty Daddy RTY. Oh, I don't know. The Bengals keep beating them. So these games have either been to go to a Super Bowl or in the regular season have felt, at least in one of the cases, three of the games have been huge games or felt like a really decisive statement game, a big game. Pressure comes with that. The spotlight comes with that. It's a big part of the reason. The Chiefs remind me of Tiger back in the day, where Tiger's excellence was the reason for this, but Tiger might play great on a Sunday, right? His crunch time, his stressful moment, his moment under the lights. But then other players, knowing it was Tiger and feeling the glare be different because they were in the lens's eye with Tiger Woods in a big moment, they would crumble. Tiger wearing that red shirt back in the day. It's nostalgic. He just shot an 82 on Saturday. Let me just have this moment. His greatness would break teams sometimes, break players late in a tournament on a Sunday. The Chiefs have done that, I think, so many times. Yeah, they've had comebacks. You've also seen teams just tighten up. I mean, the Chiefs' defense in the second half over the course of this past season and the playoffs was astounding. And that certainly is a credit to Spags and a credit to that defense and a credit to Chris Jones. I'm not taking any of that away, but I promise you a significant part of that, an important ingredient in that second half defensive domination in games, is because that team knew they were playing Patrick Mahomes. And you get tight, you get conservative, you get worried. What the Falcons did against the Patriots was a perfect reminder of what great teams can do against teams they know are better. And the fact that Joe Burrow hasn't fallen victim to that, the fact that when the very unique spotlight that falls on teams like the Chiefs and whoever they're playing has fallen on Burrow and he has risen to the moment, means he's right. They are built to beat the Chiefs because he's built for those moments. And he might be the only guy in the National Football League who plays that position who has shown that he is not afraid to play the Chiefs in the moments that will define who he is as a quarterback. Lamar Jackson can't do it. Josh Allen can't do it. Tua's not even in that class. Brock Purdy played well but wasn't able to win that game. No, man. Burrow's right. It's him. And so we'll talk, especially with the draft coming up a week from Thursday. I'll be in New York for that. In a week and a half, we'll talk about what teams maybe have recalibrated in a way to push Kansas City. Cannot wait till the NFL camp gets going this summer. The big story for me, there's going to be a lot, but one is who can challenge Kansas City. But the answer sometimes is in plain sight. It's not the new team. It's not the exciting team. It's just the correct answer. And Joe Burrow just told us. It's him. He's the answer. He's the guy. He'll code it up and dress it up as his team. But Burrow versus Mahomes, if the Chiefs aren't going to run away with everything, that's probably the rivalry that's going to define the NFL, or at least AFC, for a really, really long time. 855-212-4227 is the phone number. 855-212-4227 at Pretty Daddy RTY. And I'm at Sports Writer Tom's Best Friend. Just kidding. You can cut off that last part. Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. How was your weekend, by the way? Did you guys... So Will's going to be... Three?
3 years old.
He's going to be three in June.
Yeah, 2 months.
So is he walking around? He's talking.
Oh yeah, talking.
Have you told him about his Uncle Bill yet?
Not
his namesake.
Yet. I was waiting for maybe the fourth birthday.
It's a big one.
It's a lot. It's a lot to give him all at once.
Are you guys going to bring him to the city when I'm in town in a couple weeks so I can meet him? Have you brought him to work yet?
No. I have not brought my almost 3 year old to work.
How old would your kid have to be to do come to work with Daddy Day? My kids did that a couple times in New York. It was awesome.
And sit next to me during the show and be completely silent?
Nope. All right, first of all, he doesn't have to be silent, okay? I'm not you. I'm not mean, all right? He can make all the noise. All right, so a few things. One, because my kids did this. You have Mrs. Pretty. Would she be okay with me calling her Mrs. Pretty Daddy?
Probably not, but go for it.
You have Mrs. D-Cell. I'm not doing that to you. No. You have Mrs. D-Cell. Mrs. DeCelestino, your wife, not your mom, Mrs. DeCel, bring the kids for the last hour, or the kid in this case, because it was my kids, bring the kiddo, maybe two. You have to have it at an age where screen time works, even though it's bad parenting. So if things go really bad, you can pull out the, what's he watching? He's not going to be Dora the Explorer.
Paw Patrol,
all right. I'm excited to get him in there. Since you've renamed your Twitter handle after our friendship, I think this is a requirement. Let's talk some NBA and all the crazy outcomes from yesterday and what it means with our guy, Jeff Zilgit, next here on Brighter Than You.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.